Today is the fifth Sunday in the season of Lent, and our scripture readings for this morning are from Psalm 130 and the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Today's message is titled, Our Hope is in the Lord's Unfailing Love. Hear from God's Word, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Here ends our lesson. Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Here ends the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant us grace to hear your gracious word, so full of compassion and abounding with unfailing love, that we respond with hearts broken in repentance, thereby making room for hope that can come only from you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you, did Psalm 130, the 130th Psalm, resonate with your heart this morning? Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Do those words from Psalm 130 reverberate deep within you? Hear my voice. Listen to my cry. Lord, be attentive to my cry for mercy. Yes, that is what is happening in my soul. Crying out to the Lord God for what is happening these days is bringing heartache into many lives. The stay-at-home order, in effect, has brought much of life to standstill. Office buildings are empty. Many stores are empty. School buildings empty. Playgrounds taped off to remind children and families this is not a time or place to play here. Many have been laid off from their places of work as those places have been closed. Others laid off as their places of work are running with skeleton crews, the bare necessities to function and keep open. Troubling times, as bills will still come, raising anxieties of how to pay for them. Lost income from lost tips that will never be recovered, weighing many a heart down. Then there are these small business owners who have poured blood, sweat, and tears into their businesses over a lifetime. Some from one generation passing to the next generation, handed down, having to sit idly by, waiting, wondering if what they have built can survive these times of the stay-at-home order, all the time it's in effect. Can they recover? Can they keep going through the days ahead? Or will their business, their livelihood, their very lives come crashing down like Humpty Dumpty, where all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again? Being helpless oftentimes brings feelings of hopelessness. Does feeling helpless do the same to you? Does it make you feel hopeless? Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my trust. I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Did you hear that doublet? That repeating of a phrase, it's called a doublet. The repeating of a phrase in Scripture, especially in the Hebrew portion of Scripture, is to bring emphasis, to pay attention to. This is important. It's to raise up the ante of how important it is. Watchmen wait for the morning. Watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen waiting for the morning. That doublet is to just draw you in, to bring additional emphasis of the anxiousness of anticipation, like a watchman waiting for that first light of the day to come. The anticipation of the coming morning. I know morning is coming. I know morning is just a moment away. Oh, how my soul needs that morning to come. The surety of the morning light coming is the surety of hope placed in the Word of God. Life is full of times and places we are not able to understand nor control. And these days we are experiencing together as staying at home are driving home that point. We really are not in control of life as we thought we were in control. I am thinking more and more of what is actually really important. Are you doing the same? Are you reviewing life and reviewing what your priorities are also? Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. Is that the place you're putting your hope at this moment? Are you expectantly waiting for the Lord as the watchman waits for the morning? Is your hope in the word of the Lord? Perhaps you may be able to empathize with Martha and Mary of the Gospel of John chapter 11. Can you empathize with these sisters waiting? As they're looking down the road moment by moment, hour after day, waiting for Jesus to come walking down that road. After all, Martha and Mary had sent word for Jesus to come. Where is Jesus? Why has Jesus not arrived yet? What is taking Jesus so long in getting here? We sent word to Him that Lazarus was sick. Come on, Jesus, where are you? Let me paraphrase that in a little bit different way, perhaps. Where are you, God? Why are you letting this moment become so painful in my life? What is taking you so long to answer my prayer? Where are you, Lord? Answer my prayer, Lord. Gospel of John, chapter 11. Lazarus is sick. His sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus to come. Come heal him. Scripture shows that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had a special relationship with Jesus. Sometime earlier, Mary had poured this beautiful, wondrous perfume on Jesus in an act of loving devotion. Mary loved Jesus in that she even humbled herself to wipe his feet with her hair. That is loving devotion. I ask you, when was the last time you wiped your hair on your teenager's freshly removed feet from their smelly sneakers? Dusty roads and long walks on those dusty roads do not make pleasant feet to touch, let alone wipe with your hair in loving devotion. Yet, that is what Mary did, pouring perfume, showing love, caressing, wiping his feet with her hair. This family was special to Jesus. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now that kind of message coming to you or that kind of message coming to me would more than likely move me to go at once. Come on, let's go. The loved one, the one you love is sick. Come on, go. Right? The implied expectation is coming from Mary and Martha. Come now. The New International Version of this verse misses the translation emphasis. Lord, the one you love is sick. That's how the NIV has it. But in the Greek is an emphasis word. A word to really grab your attention. Behold. So the better translation is, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. Really drawing out that emphasis. Jesus, behold, whom you love is sick. Come, Jesus. John chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 days more. Did you hear that? Did you really hear those words? Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved them. So he rushes off to them, right? Not at all. Instead, Jesus remained where he was for 2 more days. Jesus took his time. He didn't rush off at their message. Jesus stayed where he was for 2 whole more days. John chapter 11, verse 4 tells us why. What is taking place in Lazarus' life, this sickness will be for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. That's what John 11, verse 4 says. What's happening in Lazarus' life, his sickness, and what Mary and Martha are experiencing in their anguish and soon to be grief, all of this is happening so God will be glorified. The Son of God, be glorified. Understand this point. What is happening to Lazarus and his sisters will be for the glory of God. Those words, glory and glorified, they mean to value God and value Jesus for who they are. Through Lazarus' sickness, Jesus will be revealed. Jesus will be seen by all present who he truly is.
That will bring glory to God, and the Son will be glorified. People seeing who Jesus truly is. What you are going through, what we are going through, can be for the glory of God. The Son of God can be glorified through these days of stay at home and the weeks and months afterwards too. Think on that. Lazarus' sickness will reveal the glory of God and bring glory to the Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. Through your life, through my life, through what is happening right now, the Son of God can be glorified, can be revealed and seen as the Christ, as he is. Mary and Martha are waiting. Where is Jesus? Where is he? Why is Jesus not here? Their hearts are crying out as the sisters see life ebb away in the sickness of their brother, the one whom Jesus loves, as they are waiting for Jesus, crying out, where is he? Where is he? Why is Jesus not here? Their brother Lazarus dies. Jesus did not come. Lazarus dies, and no sight nor sound of Jesus can be seen nor heard. Days after Mary and Martha's message reaches Jesus, Jesus says, let's go back to Judea. Bethany, the place where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live. Bethany, it's a small town near Jerusalem. And John chapter 11, verse 18 tells us Bethany is 15 stadia from Jerusalem. That is less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, a distance that would take, if you walk about a 20-minute mile, take less than 45 minutes or so to walk those 2 miles. Bethany was very close to Jerusalem. And we need to keep this short distance in mind. And the reason we need to keep that in mind, how close Bethany is to Jerusalem, because what takes place now in John chapter 11 gives us an indication of why Jesus going back was so dangerous. This close distance, because in the end of John chapter 10, John chapter 10 is when Jesus was the last time in Jerusalem, and the festival taking place with people filling Jerusalem, because this is one of the festivals that people gathered together, was the Feast of Dedication. And during this feast, Jesus declared, I and the Father are one. In response, the people pick up stones. They plan to stone Jesus. Jesus asks them, for what great miracle from the Father are they stoning him? And they say they're stoning him for blasphemy, being a mere man claiming to be God. This interaction concludes with John chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but Jesus eluded their grasp. Jesus went across the Jordan to get away. The death threat is very real. And that is why the disciples do not want Jesus to go back near Jerusalem. They had just tried to seize Jesus and stone him. Going back would be dangerous. Lazarus has fallen asleep. Jesus is going to wake him up. The disciples understood, asleep? Oh, that's good news. Asleep, that means the fever's left. Lazarus will recover. No need for Jesus to go back to Bethany. Here, we see again the evidence Jesus is God. Knowing things from distance. Showing himself to be God. John chapter 11, Jesus then says, he told his disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Jesus loves Lazarus. Jesus loves his sisters. And still Jesus lets Lazarus die. Why? For the glory of God. For the Son of God to be glorified. Why? Also, so the disciples may believe. So you and I may believe. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John the disciple writes why he wrote the gospel. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Believe in Jesus' name. Is that actually possible? Life in Jesus' name. Is that actually possible? Is there life after physical death? Can Martha and Mary have hope even now? To get a good sense that Jesus had to travel a good distance to get back to Bethany, when Jesus arrives, we're told that Lazarus has been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Lazarus was very dead, and the people had come to gather around and comfort Martha and Mary in their grief. Word reaches them that Jesus is coming, and Martha goes out to meet Jesus. Even in her grief, Martha expresses faith. John chapter 11, verses 20, starting at verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Lazarus dying gave us these powerful words written in Scripture to nurture and strengthen the faith through the years. To strengthen the faith in your life and my life this day. Those powerful words which are often read at funerals. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you really believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, as Martha exclaimed here? Do you believe? The events unfold. Mary comes in that powerful moment before the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus weeps. The crowd that had gathered there said, see how he loved him. Some in the crowd then said, John chapter 11, verse 37, some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? This statement from the crowd shows that the healing of the blind man in Jerusalem, which Scripture recounts in the Gospel of John chapter 9, is still fresh in this crowd of people. That memory of that event that happened to Jerusalem is still fresh in their minds. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Not only can Jesus open the eyes of a blind man, Jesus can call a dead man back to life. Jesus says, take the stone away. The sisters protest that the smell of the decaying body is too great. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus answers, verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus looks to heaven, praying out loud for the benefit of the crowd gathered around. Jesus does this for the people, for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe God the Father sent Jesus. Then those powerful words were shouted out loud, "Lazarus, come forth!" The dead man came out. The corpse that was decomposing and filling the air with such a putrid stench is now alive, fully restored to life. Don't move too fast from this moment. Consider all that took place by the word of Jesus, "Come forth." That decomposed body was restored. Go ahead, let your imagination fill in details. Flesh restored, blood made real and flowing again, brain tissue, heart, lungs, liver, intestines, all of this restored from being decomposed and putrid smelling to full of life. And more, at the word of Christ Jesus, restored and made whole was the essence, the spirit, the soul of Lazarus returned. And he was fully made alive. Lazarus alive at the word of Jesus, the Son of God. At the word of Jesus, a dead man was called back to life. At the word of God, you can be filled with hope during these trying times. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary. Jesus loved Lazarus. And his love still allowed them to suffer. Allowed them to suffer to bring about glory to God. And the Son of God be glorified. Their suffering brought about a testimony of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, even before Lazarus was restored to life. Our suffering now does not mean the Lord's love is failing us. Rather, the Lord's unfailing love is here, filling us with hope. Yes, the Lord's unfailing love is here, filling us with hope. Put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love. There is hope. For there is unfailing love. For Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Son of God. Believe and be filled with hope. See and experience the glory of God. Amen and amen.